Companies like Zipcar and Airbnb really shifted our ideas about how we own or share things like our cars and our apartments. But there are many different ways that people practice sharing. A lot of the time, it's about exchanging. So I give you this, and then you give me that. But sometimes people decide to share without expecting anything back.
One of the most prominent thinkers in that style of sharing is Nipun Mehta. To describe it, he came up with the phrase giftivism.
If you look at economics, right, it's built on the premise that people aim to maximize self-interest. That's the basic fundamental building block of all economics, is that we are selfish. What happens if you turn that around and say, well, actually, maybe people want to be selfless?
That's Mehta speaking at a TEDx conference in Berkeley in 2012. Back in 1999, he founded a nonprofit that would create social service projects based on this crazy idea that people will do things for each other for free. The organization is called Service Space, and one of its most well-known projects is called Karma Kitchen.
The Karma Kitchen launched in Berkeley back in 2007. The idea was to have a regular day at a local restaurant where the guests would receive food or drink at no charge. All of it would be paid for by previous patrons. They might then choose to pay something ahead for the next person or not. KALW's Mary Reese has more about that in this story from our archives.
Snappy's Cafe in Hayward is usually a good place to grab a quick cup of coffee or maybe a pastry before heading to work. Either could run you anywhere from $1.50 to $3. But on the third Sunday of every month, Snappy's transforms. Today, the menu consists of refreshing coconut juice, a South Indian snack called idli, and eggplant chutney. It's all provided by a local Indian caterer and served by volunteers. Shruti Hegde is one of them, and she treats people as if she were in her own living room.
Everybody who walks in, there are personal guests, like the way we would welcome any guest at home, and we would serve them exactly the way that, you know, we would serve them at a home.
And the check that patrons get after this meal, no matter what they ate, shows the same amount, $0.00.
It's totally for community building, and that's what we want to do here.
Welcome to Karma Kitchen. It's not a physical place, it's more like a practice. Even though it's small, it's growing in a handful of cities, including Washington and Chicago, as well as in India and Japan. On a weekly or monthly basis, customers receive a meal free of charge, and they can opt to donate something or not to keep the gift moving along to the next person. Volunteer Sandy Frost says this is a lot like
somebody paying ahead for you at the toll plaza, you know, when you come up to the bridge and you get to go for free because the car ahead of you has paid in advance.
Frost and Hegde met while working on a neighborhood garden together.
I was searching for what I wanted as a more traditional practice here close to home, and I found it. And it's just been wonderful. I've been practicing with them for 2 years.
Hegde got involved with Karma Kitchen when it began at Taste of the Himalayas in Berkeley. It was started by Service Space, an organization that promotes volunteerism as a way to counterbalance what drives our economy.
You know, people are taken by the simplicity of the idea, because the hardest thing about it isn't fundraising or a business plan. It's love, right? It's believing in people's fundamental generosity.
That's Nipun Mehta, founder of Service Space and the first Karma Kitchen. He understands why business owners may consider it risky, so that's why volunteers pay rent to use their space.
We cover all their costs for the day, so the restaurant isn't making much of a sacrifice, you know. It's actually got everything to gain. But it just feels like a foreign idea, you know, for people to like, wow, okay, do I really want to try that? You know, what is that and what's going to come out of it? What kind of clientele will it attract to my restaurant, you know, and what? So there's a lot of questions that will come up, but financial isn't one of them.
In fact, guests of Karma Kitchen remember the host restaurant and they go back on other days. The owner of Taste of the Himalayas, where it started, observed a benefit.
He then saw that all the other days he was hitting record traffic, and he himself would say that he made more money in a down economy than he's made ever before.
Mehta says our individual consumer-based culture has cheapened human relationships, and that projects like Karma Kitchen counter that.
Money inherently builds a system of scarcity, where there isn't enough and we're all competing for that. And that ends up being a motivation to get people to do work. But is there a higher motivation that isn't rooted in scarcity? And maybe it's a hybrid, but we owe it to ourselves as a culture to keep that part of the spectrum alive. And if we don't do that, then we're going to lose sensitivity to all those things and, you know, degrade ourselves into a lesser human experience.
Back in Hayward, Metta's message makes sense to April Yamaguchi. She's the owner of Snappy's Cafe. She first got involved after seeing Karma Kitchen in action in Berkeley, and she was asked to host one at Snappy's after the Berkeley Kitchen became inactive. Yamaguchi says she sees the benefits beyond her bottom line.
I think, you know, we contribute us to be a part of the community, so maybe the dollar amount coming in today to us may not be a big amount, but more people would know about Karma Kitchen, more people would know about Snappy's. The business is one part, and yes, it is important so that we can have the lights on tomorrow and another Karma Kitchen going on next month, but it's more than the business part.
Even though the spirit of Karma Kitchen is to receive and then give what you can, it's totally possible to eat and never donate to the program. Volunteer Shruti Hegde admits that she saw that happen occasionally at Berkeley's Karma Kitchen.
There are some people who only come for that, but for that, we know, you know, like, we have to shower them with more generosity, more abundance. But once, you know, we explain them everything, they experience the gift, and they know that this is a gift that, you know, people are giving them. Something happens in them, some inner transformation, you know?
I try to be as positive as I can because it's a great thing.
Ninth grader Jiaran Chen came by to see how he could volunteer in the future. He says it's really about spreading a good attitude.
It makes other people happy. It makes me happy. It makes our society and our community overall better. Because if you be negative to another person, how would they feel? And how are they going to react to the next person they see?
The positive effects of these transactions can't be measured in dollars and cents. But good karma really is a long-term investment. For Cross Currents, I'm Mary Reese.